I think the number one reason is because people find it so easy to run their personal Facebook page or their personal LinkedIn or, you know, Twitter, that they don't understand that running a business online really is a technical process.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. I think you know who I am. My name is Rick Nusky. I'm the host of this show, and I also say that I'm the luckiest person alive because I get to speak with some amazing entrepreneurs, and today's no different. I'm on the line with Liana de Bellevue. How are you, Liana?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I heard that you want to come to Australia soon.
I do. Hopefully it's in the cards for us in 2020.
Fantastic. And for everybody who's wondering, Liana is the founder of De Bellevue Global Marketing. And on today's call, we're going to be talking about social media and how to best leverage social media to get your voice heard. But there are some issues that we need to face that many entrepreneurs who dive into this go into unknowingly. They don't know that there are tricks and traps that we need to be aware of. And that's where Liana's going to step in and share with us her knowledge. But before we do that, Liana, I'd love to learn a little bit more about yourself and what you like to do when you're not working.
Absolutely. So it's kind of hard to imagine a time when I'm not working. We're in 19 different countries, so we're always dealing with different time zones and different things going on. But when I'm not working, we have a total of 5 children between my husband and myself, ranging from ages 21 down to 10.
Busy.
Yes. and we have a 2-year-old grandbaby. So
beautiful.
I feel like I am always playing taxi cab or cook or, you know, nurse, something along those lines. When we do have some free time, my husband and I love to travel and just get out and explore. We live in Colorado, which is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So we go off-roading quite a bit and like to discover new towns.
Fantastic. That's excellent. Thank you so much for sharing. And, being a parent is very much like running a business in many respects. You've always got something to deal with, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked.
And just when you think you've got it figured out, there's something.
Oh, no. Yep. Every day brings a new trick to the deck of cards. I'm pretty sure of it, Liana. Now, we're going to be deep diving into some of the reasons why social media marketing and getting your voice and brand heard fail. I'm not the expert in this field. So, Liana, it'd be a really good dovetail into this conversation. Tell us a little bit about why people do fail with their social media efforts.
I think the number one reason is because people find it so easy to run their personal Facebook page or their personal LinkedIn or, you know, Twitter, that they don't understand that running a business online really is a technical process. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that you can post and all of a sudden all your friends and family will see it. And, you know, or one of your potential clients sees it and suddenly decides to buy from you. It's not an instant thing. We always tell our clients that it's a marathon. It's a relationship building process. I think a lot of the people who we deal with or who we talk to who have seen their social media fail jump right into asking someone for a sale.
Yes.
They say it's a lot like dating. You have to, you know, court the person and get them to be interested in you and give them something of value, you know, that they can see that you understand their problems or that you want to offer a solution that's long-term, just not a one and done. And a lot of times people don't get that. They're so hungry for the sale. Or to be honest, you know, I remember when my business was first starting out, I needed that sale. It wasn't about wanting it. It was like, I've got bills to pay. I've got responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I have to get this sale. And a lot of times that comes across on social media platforms and people get turned off from it.
Yeah, you can generally tell that genuine approach as opposed to, hey, look, this is just a really thin veil. I'm looking for a sale type of attitude, can't you? And right. this call could go in so many different directions. What have we got? We've got obviously the content creation, We've got the relationship building, we've got the paid marketing, we've got the platform choice. The list goes on and on and on. How does anybody know where to start?
And it can be so overwhelming for people. A lot of times when people reach out to us, they are just overwhelmed. They don't want anything to do with it. They're just like, here, take it, make it work. I don't care.
Yep.
But for those people who do feel confident doing it themselves, or at least trying it in an organic way, we tell people you don't have to be on every single platform. Right. If your audience does not hang out on that platform, don't be there. If you absolutely hate that platform, don't be there. You know, we have Snapchat, right? If you're marketing to 45-year-old women, you're probably not going to be on Snapchat or TikTok, where the 20-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 18-year-olds hang out, right?
Yes.
So do a little bit of research, find out where your clients are. If you're B2B, more than likely you need to be on LinkedIn. That needs to be your primary focus. Everybody needs to have a presence on Facebook. Even if you're not really concentrated there, it's really easy for people to refer other people to you. So I don't know how often you're on Facebook, but I know a lot of my friends say, hey, we need a plumber. Who do you know? Well, it's really easy for me to tag someone's Facebook page.
Yep.
And allow, you know, do a referral that way. It Facebook, because it's so well known, allows people to trust that if a business is on Facebook, a business is consistent on Facebook, that they're going to be consistent in business and consistent with them. So it's really about a trust factor when it comes to Facebook.
Would that be your primary choice and always to have Facebook?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. If you have a business that does not have a lot of pictures, don't start posting on Instagram, because what happens is people will start on a platform, find out that their audience is not there, and then stop posting. And then it looks like a dead page, which makes you wonder, are they even in business?
Yeah.
Are they consistent? Do they care? And it really makes the business look less than stellar.
Yeah. So let's just assume that I'm business to business and I'm on LinkedIn. That's my chosen platform. Yes, I'd have a Facebook presence, but my primary platform is LinkedIn. How do I talk to people in a copy text, or am I using video? What do you say about that?
So video on LinkedIn is not as effective as Facebook or Instagram or some of the other platforms, because research tells us that more people looked at LinkedIn during business hours and during, like, while they're at work. They might be on break, they might be, you know, waiting for a meeting to begin or something along those lines. Along those, you know, knowing that, if you've got a video and someone's trying to be kind of incognito about the fact that they're on LinkedIn, the last thing that they really want is to play something that's, you know,
yeah,
audible.
Yeah.
We tell people LinkedIn is a great place to get business, to make connections and grow your referral partnerships if you do it correctly.
Yeah.
Which it's all in how often are you posting and what type of content are you posting?
That was my next question, is about the ratio of, true content creation and sharing as opposed to this veiled or even just blatant sales pitch. Is there some sort of a ratio there that we should be aware of?
A good rule of thumb is typically 4-1. So 4 posts where you are giving high value, and trust me, it's not always just your post, right? Sharing content from someone else, sharing content from a credible source, Inc.com, Entrepreneur.com, other people in your line of business. We say 4 posts to every one self-promotion post. Here's something I found interesting. What are your thoughts? Something that begins a conversation or gets people to understand a little bit about your personality, because a lot of what you share is going to show your personality, right?
Yeah.
And it's starting that process of people feeling like, oh, yeah, that's Rick. He posts all the time. What's he posting today?
Yeah.
And if it's not always self-promotion, they're more inclined to look, because they're not going to be like, oh, what's he going to try and sell me now?
Yes.
It's, oh, what value is he adding today? I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's fantastic feedback. The My Future Business audience are startup entrepreneurs, existing small and medium-sized business owners, and book authors. Now, we know that there is a particular platform for each one of these. If I was coming to you and I was purely a web-based, say, a web designer, what platform and what criteria do you give a new customer, and how do you know which platform to recommend to them?
That's a great question. So one thing we always ask is, who is your target market?
Right.
Oftentimes businesses, especially those that are just starting out or who are still relatively small, are hesitant to be very specific because they don't want to limit who they could potentially work with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I always tell them that the money is in the niche, to be honest, right?
Yes.
Get very, very specific. It doesn't mean you won't work with other people. It means that you're having a conversation with one group particularly and allow that group to self-identify.
Yeah, that's very powerful information, because a lot of people go, well, I'll just use a shotgun and hopefully I hit somebody, essentially.
Right, yeah. Right. And so many times I say, who's your target market? And they go, oh, anybody who, right? I had a lady who owned a salon, anyone who has hair. I said, awesome. So if I brought you 100 homeless people, you would be happy. She was like, what? Why would you do that? Because all you said was anyone who.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And she was like, oh, no. They have to be higher end, and they have to do this and they do that. And I go, okay, well, where do they shop? Where do they tend to go? Where do they tend to spend their free time? And when you ask yourself questions like that, you really can create content that speaks to someone specifically. And it makes it feel natural and it feels really flowy.
Yeah.
And then when those people come into your establishment, or when they look at you online, or when they speak with you, it feels the same. I don't know if you've ever, seen someone online and then talk to them in person and you're like, wait, what?
Yes.
That doesn't match up.
Yeah,
right?
Completely different persona, I guess you'd call it. Now, this is about an education process for your customers, isn't it? Essentially, and we'll get back to that when we talk a little bit about how to work with you. But sure. I'm really focused on software. I love software. It's a big part of the game that I play, if you like. And I wonder, you see all these software devices that do automatic posts, the Hootsuites and the likes across multiple platforms. What is your take on those? Are they valid?
We utilize them. We have to. I think most business owners have to, simply because there's so much that goes into creating the post that if you took the time to schedule something every day, it's really easy for something to get missed.
Yes.
You're having an off day, or a meeting ran long, and all of a sudden your time got eaten up where you're supposed to be posting and you don't, then you kind of miss the boat on that.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain platforms that will penalize you for using the bigger known ones, like Hootsuite and Buffer and things along those lines. I always advise people to be honest. It is such a minuscule percentage that you're going to get hit. If your content is good and your engagement is good, they're not even going to care how you're publishing it.
Yeah, that's some sage advice for anybody who's on the call today. I was looking through your bio before, Liana, and I looked at this idea of following gurus and, using their secret sauce, yet you don't have a foundation to actually pivot from. What are we talking about when we talk about those things?
When you mean, like, when you're following gurus?
No, when you often see people following other people's advice, call them the gurus, and
they're offering
you this secret sauce, but yet you haven't done the groundwork. How long does it take from the very first day that I decided to have a social presence for me to have that foundation?
Great question. I would say anywhere, realistically, from 3 months before you start to see any traction to 9 to 12 months before you have a solid foundation that you can continuously count on.
Yeah.
The first 3 months, you're trying to figure out what time do people want to see post, what content are they engaged with, things along those lines. By the end of 3 months, you should have enough data to start to be able to create a strategy around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then around the end of 6 months, you can start to you can start to build on that, right?
Yep.
And have deeper conversation, and it's scalable. Once you get to about 6-9 months, then it becomes scalable, and it should be where you can kind of be hands off when it comes to looking at the analytics, you know, weekly, mm-hmm. because you've got the sales calls coming in, or the orders going in, or the books being bought,
yep.
that you know where people are coming from.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know there's a couple of things I'd love to discuss. It's about organic reach as opposed to paid marketing. But firstly, mm-hmm. we'll jump into that one next. But firstly, I see a lot of people just using Facebook, a Facebook page, a business page as their only online presence. Do you recommend that they have a website to back that up so that they actually own that? Or what's your take on that?
Yes, owning your information is critical because, you know, I think, I hope Facebook doesn't go away, right? That's my bread and butter.
Yeah.
We hope it continues forever. We hope LinkedIn shows up every day and Twitter and all these different kinds of things. But at the end of the day, you are growing your business on something that does not belong to you.
Yes.
And that's dangerous. We have seen Facebook pages, unfortunately, shut down overnight, and not always with explanation.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people, their followers, you know, suddenly decrease. Unfortunately, there are hackers now
yes.
that try and blackmail pages who have a lot of following. One person that we talked to had a little over 2 million followers
wow.
gone overnight.
Really?
Gone overnight.
That's a lot yeah. to lose, isn't it? Potentially.
Yeah. They sent her an email and said, if you don't send us $10,000, we're going to delete your page. And I mean, like, who pays attention to that? Like, who has access to my page? Okay. Did not respond. 24 hours later, she had no page.
Oh.
Gone.
Oh.
So they had backlinked some sites that were inappropriate and then reported it. So she instantly
she
lost
got into
her
trouble.
Site.
Oh, wow. Yep. Really?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's super malicious, isn't it?
Absolutely. But it's, you know, had she understood what could have happened, she may have paid. I would never, you know, say to do that. I would say contact, you know, the proper channels. But she had no idea that that was a serious threat.
Mm-hmm.
She lost all those followers. You're not going to gain them all back. And if you don't have all their information, if you can't capture that, you've spent countless hours and dollars.
Yes.
Just, you know, you just threw it all away.
Comes back to this whole idea of creating your own list, doesn't it, ultimately?
Yeah.
On another platform, be it a website or however you choose to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the goal is, and it's a really fine balance because Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, they all understand that they want to keep people on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business for them too.
Yes.
So a lot of the posts that send you out to someone else's website will get limited. They don't want their people who are on their platform to leave their platform to go check out someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful with how you set that post up or what your call to action is on the website to get those emails and collect them, nurture them, you know, grow that, but use your social media as a starting point.
Yeah. And I'd love to talk about this idea of paid media. Given that, you know, you've talked about they don't like you going away. What is the recommendations for doing, let's just use Facebook as the primary example.
Sure.
What's the recommendations? How much should you be spending and where should you be sending that traffic?
So we always tell people until you have a handle on your organic social media, do not spend money, not even the $5 boosted post, unless it has a clear call to action and you already have engagement. Because you might drive people to your page, but if people don't instantly connect with it,
yep.
they're going to move on. And that, again, that's just money wasted.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, it's all right. I was thinking about more about the boosted poster because I've heard that there's a lot of, you know, that's a waste of time. And that's obviously what you're talking about and why.
Yeah. And also, to be honest, I mean, once Facebook realizes that you're going to pay, and it's $5 or it's $10. People are like, oh, it's just $5, right?
Yep.
People have to remember Facebook is a business. If they know that you will pay $20 when your reach is low,
yep.
wouldn't it make sense for them to consistently have your reach be low?
Yes.
Because they already know you're going to feed into it. right?
Yes.
For those people that kind of hold out and they don't, and they start to grow their pages organically, they're going to be rewarded for that. And when you do spend money on an ad, there's so much more credibility. Facebook doesn't think, oh, we're not quite sure if this person's going to want to see this ad, but we'll try it anyways.
Yeah.
They're going to say, no, this person obviously knows who they're talking to. We're going to push it out to these people because we know that it's going to get the effect. So it makes the business owner happy. It makes the reader, the scroller happy, which equals a win for Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in terms of the data that's collected, which you have access to, I personally, Liana, have always found it overwhelming. What are some of the key metrics that are really important for me to focus on if I'm wanting to find out how well my reach is going, where my money's being spent, and my return on my investment?
Yeah, and I love the fact that they give us all that data, but even those of us who are in the industry and look at this all day, every day, we're like, okay, enough, right? Enough. We get it. People see it. We get it, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just a way that Facebook can help you feel secure in the amount of money that you're spending, whether that's a $5 boosted post or a $5,000 ad or a $50,000 ad. The one things that we always tell people to look for, and it depends on how you set your ad structure up, but we always look for the age, the gender, age, gender, the clicks to your website. We're always, if I'm paying for anything, I'm driving them away from Facebook. If it is a boosted post that we're doing because a client really wants to do it or has done it, the only time we're going to boost it is when we're sending them somewhere to get something for us, right?
Yeah.
So I look at how many clicks per website. And then typically we set boundaries for income and education.
Right.
So our higher end clients typically want to see people with, you know, a certain level of degree or a certain level of income. We monitor those things. But if you're brand new and you have no idea what you're looking at, age, gender, income, top three.
Yeah, fantastic. That's some really good feedback. Thank you so much for sharing that. I wonder, as a business owner, many people that I've seen, they just create a page, but they don't necessarily, I'm not saying everyone, but many of them don't necessarily know that there is a business page. Now, what's the value between a normal page and a business page?
So there are a lot of people, especially people who have the network marketing type businesses, that will post everything through their personal page. They know that business pages are going to get less reach, and it's very important for them to reach the masses, right? They're the shotgun approach, right? Let me get as many things out there to as many people and hope that it works. Here is the difficult part of that. Yes, they're going to get in front of more people. However, it goes against Facebook's regulations. If you have multiple people reporting you, and that could be two people, it could be 10 people, report you, your personal page gets shut down.
And that's quite, can be quite destructive.
Absolutely. So think about it. If we're going to, I'm just making up this, right? You sell Mary Kay, and two of the ladies who also sell Mary Kay say, hey, I'm doing it right on my business page and I'm not getting the views. Mm-hmm. And she just leveled up twice. It's because she's doing it on her personal page. That's not fair. Report done.
It's so easy, isn't it?
It's super easy. No one's going to know that it was you. No one's going to, you can't appeal it. There's a certain ratio. We typically tell people, look, Facebook understands that people run businesses. They understand that a business is an important part of your life. So they allow you to talk about some business things, but we typically tell people keep it like an 80-20 rule.
Yes.
Maximum 75-25. 75% personal, 25% business, and you're safe.
This comes back to this whole idea of owning a website, doesn't it? That own your race course type of deal.
Yeah.
Go on. I cut you off there.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I was just going to say, it's detrimental if you're not playing by the rules, because it's not your platform and they can turn it off at any point. And that's exactly what I was going to say, is which is why having your own separate space that you control is vital.
Yes, fantastic. And anybody who's listening to this, if you're just on Facebook or just on LinkedIn, might be time to invest in having a website developer come in and assess where you're at. Now, when people want to work with you, I'm sure that there's an application process, and you know, I'd love to learn a little bit more about that process and whether or not you work with everyone or you turn people away. Tell us a little bit about that part of your business.
Sure. And I wish that I could say that we work with anyone, but it's very important that we know exactly who we're talking to, right?
Of course.
So we work with businesses who are established, which typically means between the 3 and 5 year mark.
Mm-hmm.
They have a clear product and they have a clear target market. We do everything from creating the content for them, or we will work with their team to, if they already have someone in-house, we will create the strategy for them and they can implement it themselves. We also run ads for them. There's not really a dollar amount that we start at.
Right.
It's just more of a, where are you in your business? The other thing that we always ask during the interview process is, what other aspects of marketing are you doing? If you are only doing social media and this is your last ditch effort, then that's not a great fit.
Not
for
a good
us,
fit for you, right? Guys. So right. We've talked about relationship marketing. I suspect that this is a longer term relationship based organization that you're running. You know, what can people expect to see in terms of the duration of time that they would work with you before expecting or seeing any results?
We typically ask people to give us a full 3 months to kind of nail down the strategy. So we meet at the very beginning and then we meet with our clients monthly. At the end of that 3 month mark, we make any final strategy plans. Throughout the first 3 months, we're tweaking things as information becomes available to us. The end of that 3 months, we finalize a strategy, we set goals, and then we meet quarterly throughout the year. Unless, which is happening more frequently than not, we meet the goal beforehand, or, you know, and we need to reset goals. Or if we get some type of new information, we need to strategize and change things. But typically, within 3 months, we've got the foundation laid. 6 months, we start scaling. We go from there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm also thinking, you said something there that made me think about research. Obviously, your organization does all of that heavy lifting. How do you go about this side of it? Because there'd be mountains of new data and techniques coming out all the time, I would think.
Yeah, it is. We have an amazing team that does fantastic work. If it were just me, I think I would be pulling my hair out and crying in a corner somewhere.
Sounds like me, yeah.
But no, so we handle all aspects of social media in its entirety. So there are some companies that we are their entire marketing team, and it's just outsourced. So another thing that we look at when we're talking to people is, how comfortable are you with outsourcing? We do the content creation, we schedule the post, we follow the analytics, we respond to messages, we engage with people who are doing comments, things along those lines. Each one of our clients has a dedicated account manager. So it's not like a call center where you call and you hope you get someone
who knows that you know. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Well, look, everybody who's on the call today, this is about making your life easy. It's about getting a social presence, getting a footprint out there and being consistent about it. And you know what? For my money, I'd rather be doing what I'm good at rather than something I'm not so good at. And this is where Liana and her team can help out. So where are they going to go to start working with you, Liana?
Great question. And I will send them to our website, which is debellevueglobal.com. We do offer anyone who is listening on the call today a social media review. So we will analyze one of your social media sites absolutely free of charge, no obligation, no sales, nothing like that. We'll just tell you what's going really well, maybe some areas that you can improve on. So if you're struggling or if you're just not sure if social media is working for you, take advantage of that offer. Of course, we are on every major business platform, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and that's under DeBellevue Global.
That's fantastic. And as is the case with every call, I will make sure to put the specific links back to the pages that you need to visit. Liana, I've had just such a wonderful time spending some time with you on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.